You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 528.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Woohoo, we're here. Hi, Kevin.
You're so excited to be on the Flopcast.
I saved all my energy for this show.
Long one of your dreams. This will be quick. Let's do this. I have a concert report for you, so that's something.
That'll be nice.
That'll be something, and then that's about it. Then we'll get out of here. Let's start, however. How about National Whatever Day?
Wouldn't it be nice if I had a Beach Boys birthday to share? Well, I do. Brian Wilson turning 80 on June 20th.
That's one of your main Beach Boy guys.
Yes.
Considered the creative genius of the group, right?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a tortured genius and...
Sure. Has had some issues here and there over the years, certainly. I hope he's doing okay. He's still tours and performs quite a bit, I believe.
Yeah, still making his own albums.
Yeah, it doesn't really work with the other guys anymore, or very rarely at least.
Yeah, it's not common.
Beach Boys with Mike Love, they're still out there creeping around as well.
That's true.
And then Brian's off doing his own thing. And I'm ignoring all of it. I don't care about the Beach Boys enough to pay any attention to what they're doing.
I like the classic stuff.
Yeah, I like some of it. Some of it's just a little too goofy for me. The goofy poppy surf stuff. I've had enough of that.
Okay. I just discovered, though, there is something a little more current in the catalog of Brian Wilson as a solo artist that I need to go out and find, because we all know how much I love the Bare Naked Ladies as a band.
I assumed this is where you were heading. Because over the 10-year history of the Flopcast, you have a way of trying to twist every conversation into being about Bare Naked Ladies.
Well, here goes.
You might have to have a conversation with HR about that, about constantly bringing up...
I always get in trouble with HR about talking about Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies in every situation. All right, so what's Brian Wilson doing that involves Bare Naked Ladies? If you can answer such a question gently...
HR says I should stop talking about Bare Naked Ladies so much. On the 1993 album Gordon, the Bare Naked Ladies recorded a song called Brian Wilson, which was about Brian Wilson.
I would say one of their best known songs, right?
100% agree. Turns out that Brian Wilson himself performed that song at concerts and released a cover version on the album Live at the Roxy. So you can hear Brian Wilson singing Brian Wilson. And I cannot think of anything more meta than that. Now I simply must hear it. I did not know that was a thing.
Well, we should look that up.
Yeah, I think we should.
I would check that out. I didn't know that existed either.
And if there was a song called Cornflake, I would learn how to sing it too.
There must be some old Kellogg's commercial jingles to that effect that you could sing, I suppose.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they weren't singing about me.
Yeah, maybe not quite as poignant as the Brian Wilson song, I grant you.
So happy birthday, Brian Wilson.
Sure. Happy birthday, Brian. Why not? And did we have any other business today? Oh, what about Ally Sheedy from last week?
Yeah.
You told me that Ally Sheedy had a new TV series, which yes. I was not familiar with. I watched it today.
What did you think?
I kept to my word. Remember, I said I was going to check it out. I watched two episodes of Single Drunk Female, which you taught me about last week. And it's okay. I thought it was pretty good. Not, I wouldn't say great.
You probably weren't the audience it was written for.
Yeah. I'm not a 20-something alcoholic lady.
Not since I last checked. I mean, the pandemic has changed us in interesting ways, but last I knew.
Maybe I'll see the thing through. I think there's 10 episodes, and they're short. I think I'll see it through. I'll get through the series. I liked it enough. And man, it's so nice seeing Allie.
Yeah.
Allie's the mother. It's single drunk female. It's a young woman who gets in a heap of trouble because of the booze.
Right.
You know, she moves back in with the mother, who is Allie Sheedy. Have you seen it?
No, I put on Hulu and I realized that the new episode of The Orville was up and I got distracted.
Oh, no.
But I am still going to check it out because I definitely want to see Ally Sheedy play a mom.
I think you'd like it. It's pretty good. And so nice seeing Ally. I have not seen Ally Sheedy in anything in a long time. Ally looks fantastic, by the way. She looks like she just stepped right out of, you know, Saturday detention in 1985.
That's what feels like the real treat in all of this, is just getting to see Ally Sheedy again.
Yeah, that was fun. John Glazer had a small part, at least in the first episode. And I like him. He's very funny. He used to be on Conan O'Brien's show back in the day. He was on Parks and Recreation, and he was on Girls. He was a member of the Slipknots, which was a music group that would appear on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. And they'd slip on nuts.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. That's what they did. Well, he's there. He wasn't slipping on nuts in Single Drunk Female, which was a shame, but pretty good. Okay, so I've seen it. You have not. You should check it out, too.
Yeah, I need to get a move on with that. Sorry.
That's okay. We have plenty of time to discuss Ally Sheedy.
But here I am, already getting behind on all the assignments.
All these difficult assignments.
Such work. Such hard work.
Yeah. I need you to get on the couch, rip open a bag of Fritos, watch some Ally Sheedy, and report back to me. I do have another report for you, though.
Fritos. What's up?
I have a concert report. I went to a concert.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Not a lot of that going on these days. Yeah, just this past weekend, as we record, I went into Boston, and I think this was my first time in Boston this year, which shows you, you know, how much I get out these days. Went to Boston to see Kraftwerk.
Now, I have heard from you and from others that that is one amazing show, so I'm excited to hear your impression of it.
Yeah, this is not your normal concert, and this was a long time coming. I had tickets to see Kraftwerk 2 years ago, and believe it or not, that show got canceled.
Wouldn't you know it?
And I kind of thought there's a good chance, well, that was it. I thought, you know, these guys might not make it back here, because, you know, these are old German guys who don't get over to America too often. And yeah, when the 2020 tour got scrapped, I was not sure if they'd be able to reschedule it someday or not, but they did. They're over here.
That's spectacular.
We got Kraftwerk back to America. Yeah, so nerds and weirdos everywhere were snapping up their Kraftwerk tickets. Now, in the intervening 2 years since this concert was supposed to happen and today, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Awesome.
Long overdue. They've been nominated many, many times. Never got the votes, probably because they were never too big commercially in America. So last year, they got inducted finally as musical influence or musical excellence or something, like one of the extra side categories.
It's amazing.
I remember on the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast, where they break down Rock and Roll Hall of Fame every week, all year. It's all they talk about. Like, we talk about it like maybe twice a year around here.
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's called Who Cares About the Rock Hall. But leading up to last year's induction, one of the hosts was like, now Kraftwerk, they're not going to come to the ceremony and accept their award, are they? And then the other guy said, I'm not sure Kraftwerk even knows that they're being inducted. These guys are infamously very reclusive. They very rarely do any kind of interviews or interact with humans.
That's awesome.
They're kind of doing their own thing.
They're kind of like the male Enya in that way.
They're very much like Enya, yes. And they've been doing this for 50-something years now, going back to the, yikes, late 60s, early 70s. And yeah, they're considered really like the creators of electronic music. So that their influence on popular music over the last several decades cannot be understated. You know, even though they really didn't have a lot of commercial success in America, massively important band. Pop music today would sound very, very different if Kraftwerk had not come around in the 70s.
Truly.
And not a normal concert, not a normal band. Our friend Kevin Cafferty from the Gleaming the Tube podcast was at the show also, because he's at every show that I go to.
That's a rule, isn't it?
It's the only person I see anymore. Is
I think the saying goes, Kevin's of a feather stick together.
Apparently we do, but I like how Kevin described this concert. He said it's really more like performance art, which I think is appropriate. As you enter the theater, this was at the Wang Theater in Boston, as you walk in, they hand you 3D glasses. It's like I was going to see the Avengers.
Neat.
Everyone is issued 3D glasses to go to a concert, so that was unusual.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so we get in, pop my glasses on, had to carefully balance them on top of my N95, you know?
Yeah, make it all work.
I had a lot of headgear going at this show. I had the N95, I had earplugs, and then I added to that ensemble the 3D glasses.
That is a lot of gear.
Yes, I was quite the bizarre freak. Yeah, here's Kraftwerk. And Kraftwerk, it was great, it was amazing, it was weird, and it was also pretty much exactly what I thought it would be, which is fine. Kraftwerk concert, it's four old German guys with keyboards in like matching Tron suits, and they stand there and they play.
They don't engage with the audience at all.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Not since I went to see the Cars in 1987 have I been to a show where the band interacted with the audience as little as Kraftwerk did. That is to say, not at all. They make the Cars look very animated.
That is something.
The Cars moved around a little bit more than Kraftwerk.
Whoa.
I mean, at least Ben Orr could kind of wander around the stage a little bit with his bass guitar.
Yeah.
Whereas Kraftwerk, they are tethered to their keyboards. But they come out, and then the video screen lights up. There's just a giant video screen behind them, and they're running video through the whole show. And yeah, it's in 3D. You're just watching weird 3D video behind them as they play. And they're just doing all the Kraftwerk stuff. And if you know Kraftwerk, you know what it sounds like. It's just super synthy, super electronic with the kind of robotish voices. And that's what they do.
For a whole show.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one guy left who is an original member of Kraftwerk. So that there have been a lot of personnel changes over the last 50 years.
I'm impressed that they found a way to keep it going as the lineup changed.
Yeah, Ralf Hütter, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but that is the lead vocalist and one of the keyboardists, of course. And that's an original guy from when the band started. And yeah, the only time they really move was walking on stage and then walking off stage. Now, the exit, they did one by one. And that was really the only time they really acknowledged the audience is one by one. Each guy would kind of walk off to the side, stop under a spotlight, take a bow, then off he'd go.
That sounds really classy.
It was. Yeah, it was nice. You know, they weren't being rude in not speaking to us through the whole show. That's just their thing.
Right.
But I've gotten so into synth pop over the last several years, and I think you have as well. You know, you've been to Freeze Pop shows.
Yes.
With me. We love synth pop kind of stuff, and this is where it started.
Amazing.
You got to go back to the roots of the modern electronic music and synth pop, and that's Kraftwerk.
That's really cool. I'm so glad you got to see them.
Yeah, what a treat to have Kraftwerk in Boston. Not a lot of German acts, you know, like on the pop charts in America that I could think of. We've talked about the Scorpions, you know, they had their hits. And then my girl, Nena.
Yes.
It was great to see Kraftwerk. I've still never seen Nena.
You have to go to Germany to see her, right?
I think you do. Yeah, you've got to get over to Europe because Nena, as far as I know, does not come and play in America.
But at least last when we were talking about her, she still does play.
Oh, yeah. Nana's still out there. It's like the Hooters here in America. If you want to see the Hooters, you have to go to Philadelphia. Or, strangely, you have to go to Germany because the Hooters still tour Germany every year. But Nena, it should be an exchange program. Like when the Hooters go to Germany, Nena should have to come and play in Philadelphia.
That sounds like equilibrium to
me. Nena and her 99 red balloons should be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania every summer, and I would go and see her. Is that it for German acts that we know?
Yeah.
Oh, Lou Bega? How about Lou Bega?
Did we determine?
Lou Bega, I didn't know was German. I just learned that recently on our sister podcast. But first, let's talk nerdy. Martha mentioned that on the show and she was like, you know what I just learned? Lou Bega, German. And it freaked her out. And it freaked me out.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So we did our 1997 episode of the Flopcast last week. When we get around to 1999, we'll have to talk some Lou Bega.
I'll be ready.
I am not looking forward to that.
I've seen him live.
What? Oh, wait a minute. Okay. All right. Forget 2 years from now. I guess we're going to have this.
Talk about Lou Bega
this
right now.
Difficult, uncomfortable conversation right now. When did you see Lou Bega?
He did one of those local radio station shows on the Boston Common.
Oh, yeah.
And that's actually where I saw Duran Duran as well.
Sure.
And Dido.
Yep.
But he wasn't. Lou Bega did not take the main stage. There was a main stage and there was a side stage. But I deliberately went over to the side stage to see Lou Bega.
You specifically sought out Lou Bega. Now, does he speak with a German accent? Did you know he was German?
I wouldn't have been able to tell, no. But all I can remember from that performance was that he did Mambo Number 5.
Oh, you're kidding. He did?
Obviously, he did Mambo Number 5. But then he did another song that wasn't Mambo Number 5, but sounded like Mambo Number 5.
Yeah. Are they all just differently numbered Mambos?
It could have been.
The whole set?
Maybe it was Mambo 4.5, just for us.
Did you enjoy the Lou Bega performance? Or do you deeply regret it to this day?
I regret every minute.
Oh, no. I should have brought you along to the Kraftwerk show just as a palate cleanser.
I would have appreciated that because the concert element added nothing. Like, I could have listened to the song on the radio and got the same effect.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not a good effect.
No.
All right. Well, I'm glad we've righted the ship this week as far as German performers coming to Boston, because Kraftwerk was incredible and weird. And I got another show coming up in a couple of days as we record.
Something cool.
Doing two concerts this week, and then a third is coming up. Speaking of synth pop, you know, Freeze Pop is doing a show later this month, so I'm planning to be at that also.
That is something cool.
That'll be good, but meanwhile, back in Chickentown, let's see, we have some time. Having not prepared much of anything today. And so...
Oh, good.
You know what we could do is break out the pudding pages.
I like that.
Just to round out the show, you know, let's dive into the pudding pages. Let's do Pudding Pages Classic.
Okie doke.
The 70s, 80s book, since we did so much 90s talk last week.
Do you need a palate cleanser?
Oh, I sure do. So we have the book here. The book is called Whatever Happened to Pudding Pops. It's a book of stuff from the 70s and 80s. We're going to open a random page in this book, and we will discuss whatever is on that page. Now, to get to that page...
Oh, are we going to fire up the supercomputer in this heat?
We have a supercomputer, and yeah, it gets ever more dangerous running our Flopcast supercomputer in the summertime. But gotta be done.
Oh, jeez.
It's a fire hazard.
I don't think it's rated for that. No.
So many code violations every time we try to play pudding pages in the summertime.
And we can't run the cooling systems because then the folks we steal it from at NASA would know that we have it.
Yeah, this is a supercomputer that Cornflakes stole from NASA 8 years ago. You've been kind of running from the law ever since. So, Flopcast listeners, just kind of, you know, keep that to yourself.
Right. Don't ask questions.
It's a big secret that we have this thing in the studio, but I am going to fire this up right now, and we're going to get a random number out of the supercomputer. We will turn to that page. Let's do it. We are going to page 16.
And I'm just going to keep this fire extinguisher handy.
Yeah, that'll work over Zoom. Good idea.
Oh, you're right.
Okay, we're very early in the book, of course, page 16. I've opened to page 16. This is weird. What is this?
What's on page 16?
It says big families.
Big families? Just as a general thing?
Yeah.
Are we talking like 8 is enough and just the 10 of us? And
yes. It seems to be just discussing the trend of big families, I guess, on sitcoms and things. Yeah. This says the Bradys had 6 kids, the Waltons had 7. I didn't watch the Waltons.
Me neither.
That was a big family, evidently. And then there was 8 is enough, as you mentioned.
And the Partridges.
How many Partridges were there?
Were there five?
It was enough to make a band. Let's see. There was a. There's David Cassidy. There's Susan Day. There's Danny Bonaducci. And then there were a couple of little kids. Yeah, so there were at least five kids. Little Tracy on the tambourine, you know? I don't know if the Partridges count as a big family, but maybe.
They're on the cusp.
This says, Jan Brady was mocked for longing to be an only child. That was the least of Jan's problems, I would argue. Now, the book doesn't mention Just the Ten of Us, but yeah, you did. You remember Just the Ten of Us.
Were they from the 70s?
Just the Ten of Us was 80s. That was even like, I would say, late 80s.
Maybe that's why it doesn't make it into the pudding book, even though it covers the 70s and the 80s, because they're saying families of the 70s.
Yeah, this entry seems to be addressing a trend of the 70s. Just the Ten of Us, though. I guess there were 10 of them. Now, is that the same count as Eight is Enough? Eight is Enough? Was it two parents and eight kids? How many kids were on Eight is Enough?
I don't know.
I get so confused. I was not a big Eight is Enough viewer either.
Eight is Enough was the show with Schneider, right?
No, that was One Day at a Time.
That's One Day at a Time.
That's One Day at a Time.
Was that a big family?
No, that was just us. That was single mom with two daughters.
I got thinking about Schneider today because a modern day...
You know, some of us think about Schneider all the time.
I saw a picture of Justin Bieber in the news, and I could not get over how Justin Bieber, like, how much he now looks like Schneider.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it kind of freaked me out.
He has a big mustache and a tool belt and a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his shirt.
Exactly.
Nice.
I don't know what happened to the Biebs.
He's like a young Pat Harrington Jr. now. Good for him.
That's how you make it in the world.
I didn't watch much of Just the Ten of Us either. Just the Ten of Us was a spinoff of Growing Pains.
Ah.
Like that was the, it was the gym teacher, I think, at the school that the kids on Growing Pains went to. This was his family, was Just the Ten of Us.
And we're talking about big families here, as in families with many kids in them. But I think the family in Full House would have qualified as a big family.
You know who we could turn to for any questions we have about Just the Ten of Us is Ken Reed over at TV Guidance Counselor.
Oh, yeah. Ken would know.
He knows everything about every show anyway, but especially Just the Ten of Us. Like, that's one of his favorite shows. He is a Just the Ten of Us expert. He has a lot of memorabilia from the show, and he's even had several of the cast have been guests on TV Guidance Counselor.
Oh, that's really cool.
So Ken would know. Well, this was a very strange page to open here in the pudding book, because I never really thought about it, that this was a trend, evidently, of the 70s was a big family.
Would the Smurfs count as one big family?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Assuming that Papa Smurf is indeed, you know, their actual father to all the other Smurfs.
The father of all Smurfs.
I still don't understand how the Smurfs maintain a breeding population. I don't know how that works.
Me neither. I'm pretty sure they do that stuff off screen, though.
Can you... During the commercials.
That little la, 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 la you hear in the background.
Yeah, the kids are watching Frankenberry commercials. Meanwhile, Papa Smurf. Oh, no.
Is getting his Smurf on.
Pudding pages sure got creepy and weird right at the end there.
Thanks to the Smurfs.
Let's stop. I think we succeeded, Cornflake. We're keeping this one nice and short. How about let's just get out of here?
Keeping it short for the people. Okay. Flopcast.net is our website. Facebook.com/Flopcast is a place where we creep around. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is @Flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_Flopcast. We would love it if you go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Yeah, and Sponge Awareness Foundation, we perform in America just about as often as Nana.
Accurate.
Which does seem to satisfy the...
Your fans.
Our fan base, yes. So it's fine. Cornflake, thanks for a quick, goofy little Flopcast. Everybody, thanks for listening as always. And please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and Mambo number 5.
Oh, no.
This Labor Day weekend, fandom is calling. Let Michael, Mike, Darren, and Jen help you answer the call with the latest news, notes, tips, and tricks on the DragonCon Report. Available as an audio podcast, visit DragonConReport.com, and for the first time ever, watch us on video via Facebook Live and YouTube. We want to help you celebrate your fandom in all the best ways. So listen up, and we'll see you at the con.
Okay, Cornflake, this is the secret after show, of course. Nobody's listening. We can do whatever we want, but I don't know what we're doing. What are we doing?
A bonus whatever day.
Ooh, okay.
Flopcast After Dark.
Yes. Oh, no. Is it Papa Smurf's birthday?
Not unless Papa Smurf has a occupation that I was unaware of, because June 25th is Stripper Appreciation Day.
Oh, see, I kind of wish this was part of the real show.
Well, I'm pretty sure that we have celebrated Stripper Appreciation Day in the past.
We could have filled the whole show with this topic. Well, we did a show about strippers once because when you were working as a florist at one time.
Yes.
As I recall, it was you and Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company were operating a flower shop, and you learned that there was a tool that's used in the flower arranging business known as a stripper.
It is. Yes, correct. And they're sexy.
Oh, yeah. Did you have one of those poles in the flower shop?
No, we just danced on the counter.
What a scene. Sure. So it's actually Stripper Appreciation Day?
Yeah, June 25th is Stripper Appreciation Day.
All right.
It's also Global Smurfs Day.
Every 11 years, I think, they fall on the same day, and it's just the best. So exciting. Oh, the parties we have. How do you think Papa Smurf feels about Stripper Appreciation Day?
I get the feeling that he probably has a side hobby that we all don't know about.
There's so much going on we don't know about in the Smurf Village, you know?
It's true.
Back on the pole, Smurfette.
I personally want to see Handy on that thing.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.